And I want you to give me some input on this Browns team, on this Ohio State football team, and where you're at as we get set for August 31st with the Buckeyes and the Bulls of Buffalo and the Dolphins and the Browns on September 8th, moving towards those dates with these teams. We start with John in C-Town. Welcome to Cleveland Sports Night, John.
Hey, what's going on, brother?
How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Hey, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid yet, man.
You're not? All right, tell me why.
No. Brand new everything. You know, you got a full install. So you got a new head coaching, a new coaching,
right?
New offense, new defense, new front office. Whenever you start with all new, I mean, it's going to be rough to have a good year. So I'm a Cleveland fan. When I go to Vegas, I'm probably going to put some money on the Browns, you know, to make the playoffs. Because I'm sure the line will be good, but I don't think they're going to do good. Probably maybe 5 or 6 wins.
Okay, give me a word as you look at this team that you think will, or what you're feeling about them right now. What's a word that you can share with me and my listeners here tonight that describes your feelings for this 2013 team?
Fear.
Fear.
No, I can't really say it's about this team. I'm just scared. You know, I'm scared it's going to be more of the same.
Why?
You know,
because of what's happened in the past? Is that why?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Don't you feel better, John, about Rob Chudzinski and having North Turner on the O side, on the D side, Ray Horton, Chris Tabor on special teams? Don't you feel better about that coaching staff as a whole, maybe than you have in recent years with the coaching staff?
Definitely, I do. But you know what? See, in Cleveland, it's bigger than football, man. It's a whole mojo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like people think you can solve with X and O's, but it's like, it's bigger than that. Whatever's holding us back, it's like, you know.
Well, here's the thing that I love. And this was from being out there at practice, doing a show out there at practice. Rob Chudzinski gets it. And let me elaborate on that a little bit, John, okay? When Jim Tressel came to Ohio State, he understood Ohio State football. He understood the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry. Remember his speech at halftime of that Ohio State basketball game? I guarantee you'll be proud of the players in the classroom and on the field in 315 days in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and the place went crazy, right? He knew
and
what
you're
he
right, cuz Mike Holmgren never got it.
No.
From the day he got here, I understood he didn't get what was going on.
Exactly.
How big it was here. He never got it.
No, and neither did Shermer, okay?
No, they didn't. They didn't understand how big it is.
And that's why I bring up Tressel. He understood what Ohio State football meant to the fans in Columbus, in Northeast Ohio. He understood the greatest rivalry in the history of sports, Ohio State, Michigan. And so it's easier as players and fans to buy into a coach that you trust and you feel understands everything. Rob Chudzinski gets the Cleveland Browns. He gets the fans of Cleveland. He understands the Steelers-Browns rivalry, the hatred towards the Ravens because that's the former Browns team. He gets all of that. He signed autographs on that Saturday when I was there broadcasting for a good 20 minutes, making sure everybody that stayed for an autograph got an autograph or a picture that wanted to take a picture. He gets it, John.
And he has been here before, so you're
right.
At least he does know. So you're exactly right.
That's why I'm optimistic about Chud and his staff. He gets how important Cleveland Browns football is to the city of Cleveland, the fans of Cleveland. And that's very important in your coach. It may sound like something small, minute, little, not as important, but it is important. And he said it. I heard, what show was it, the preview show tonight? Where in the open of that preview show with Reggie and Carucci, he talked about as, a, you know, I was that kid in the backyard pretending to be Ozzie Newsome or Brian Sipe. I mean, he loves this organization because it was his childhood dream. And now he's the head coach of the team he grew up rooting for.
Yeah, you spoke about it, seeing him at camp. You know, going over and telling guys, hey, get over here and sign autographs.
Right.
You know, when they're in drills, telling the crowd, let's go, starting dog bark chants and all. You know, he's fired up and he feels like he's a part of the fans.
Right.
You know, obviously he has a job that he has to do, but he understands what it's like to watch this team, to live and die with this team. And I think that's a big plus.
And the other thing that I appreciate out of Rob Chudzinski, and I read one of the articles last week about this. He is allowing Norv Turner to call the plays. Norv Turner is his offensive coordinator, and game time comes, Norv Turner's calling the plays. He's up in the press box. He's calling the plays. Now, the week leading up to the game, when they get together to put the game plan together, yes, Rob Chudzinski is going to have input into the offensive game plan. But he said, look, I don't want to meddle in my offensive coordinator's rhythm. As a play caller, as an offensive coordinator, you get into a rhythm of calling plays. You get a feel for your team and the opposition. I'll make suggestions, maybe when the offense is off the field going into the next series, maybe at halftime, maybe in a timeout, I'll make suggestions, but I'm going to let Norv Turner call the plays. I'm going to be the game manager. I've got Ray Horton to run the defense. I've got Norv Turner to run the offense. Chris Tabor's handling special teams. I'll make suggestions here and there. I'm going to decide down and distance, fourth and one, do we go for it? Do we punt? Do I take the penalty? Do I call timeout? There's so much going on as a head coach. And if you've never been one before, and this is where Pat Shurmur failed and made major mistakes, it's too many hats to wear to try and do all that, to be the offensive coordinator, to be the head coach, to, you know, get involved in special. No, that's too much if you've never done it before, and Shurmur didn't, and he failed miserably. And I think Rob Chudzinski understands it. He gets it. He gets the fans, the importance of Cleveland Browns football, and he also understands that you have to let your assistant coaches do their job, especially if you've never been a head coach before. Now, maybe he gets comfortable, you know, after a year or something like that, and, you know, he's feeling good about his job as the manager of the team, putting the team in the best position to win, and then maybe he'll want to, you know, dive into to calling plays on his own and won't need Norv. But to start out, can you think of a better play caller to have as your offensive coordinator than Norv Turner?
No, I can't, and he's smart enough to know. You know what? Norv is probably a better play caller than me, and if he's not, it's not that much of a drop-off,
right.
And I have other things to worry about, so let me let him handle, you know, his responsibilities. And I think a lot of times Shurmur wanted to meddle a little too much in the offense. You know, I think that's some of the Whedon talking about. They had problems getting the play in.
Emmett, think about this. You're a rookie quarterback in the NFL. You're waiting for the play call to come in your helmet on that radio, right?
Right.
The headset. And they shut it off with 15 seconds to go.
And you don't have the play. Right?
On the clock. So at 15, and you don't have the play, or he just started describing the first why bananas, and that's it, and it stops?
Right.
And you got to call the rest of it? Timeout. Let's go discuss it over on the sidelines. Or, okay, I'm going to guess. And you call the wrong play, and somebody's in the wrong place. There's miscommunication. That happened numerous times last year. Lack of communication. And you can't have that if you're going to be successful in the NFL.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
That was Pat Shurmur, okay? And Brandon Whedon, and he was a rookie. Now, if that's a veteran who hears the play call coming in and part of it only gets to you, you can maybe figure out what the rest of it is. But if you're a rookie and you're not sure and you're in an offense that you're uncomfortable to begin with, right?
Yeah.
Now you've got the vertical attack with Norv Turner going down the field. You're stretching the field with Travis Benjamin on one side, Josh Gordon when he's not drinking the drink, and going down the right side, right?
Yeah.
The purple drink,
yeah.
Right? He's on the field.
Syrup.
He's not suspended.
Syrup, yeah.
Yeah, the syrup. The syrup. Got some syrup. Yeah. So this is an offense better suited for Brandon Whedon, and you've got a guy calling the plays that is as good a play caller in the game, I think, you know, compared to all the offensive coordinators out there.
He's proven.
He's proven,
and,
right?
You know, and that's all you need.
So that's why I feel better about this team. I'm not saying they're going to be a 500 team. I'm not saying they're a playoff team. I don't think they'll make the playoffs. I will say that. I don't think they'll make the playoffs. But I think they will improve on their five wins from a year ago. How much depends on Well, A, injuries. Who stays healthy? Always. Every team, a lot of it depends on injuries. B, our caller made a good point. It is all new. You're going from a 4-3 to a 3-4. So how do those guys adjust that are normally playing with their hand down, right, at the line of scrimmage, and they're dropping back, in pass coverage?
That could be a plus at the same time. If guys felt like last year they weren't put in the right positions, to be successful, and you bring something new, maybe there's, you're not 100% sure of what you should do, but with this type of defense, attack. If you're not sure, go after the quarterback, and I think that'll get guys excited. I think both on offense and defense, and so far through training camp and the preseason, you've seen an energy in this team that you haven't seen in the past 4 or 5 years.
Again, there's that eye of the tiger in the players, and not that deer in the headlights look in the players' eyes. Yeah. And the same with the coach, right? How many times did we look at Shurmur and, he looked like Bambi staring into two headlights coming at him 50 miles an hour?
Yeah.
Like, what do I do? Timeout. Yeah, that was the answer.
Timeout.
Or he's tripping officials on the sidelines, and getting a 15-yard penalty for it.
Yeah.
So that I feel better about this team. Let me go to Jim here real quick, get some thoughts from him on the Cleveland Browns as we approach the 2013 season. How you doing, Jim?
Hey, Roy, man, what's happening, man?
Talk to me.
All right, I'm agreeing with you, man. I'm looking forward to the Browns season. I'm looking at it where you got people in the right place that have football minds that know what the heck is going on. And then you're going to turn around and see a much improved. I like what's happening. I like the direction they're going in. And like I said, if they give me 7-9 or even go 8-8, hell, I take that any day of the week for a Browns team because I'm tired of being 4-5 wins and talking about the draft upcoming.
Here's the thing, okay, Jim? They've got a quarterback who they're trying to find out about as far as is he the quarterback of the future. And so I think it's rather humorous that they're not naming Brandon Weeden the starter yet, but okay, whatever, Chud, that's the way you want to do it. So it doesn't feel like entitlement and all that. That's fine. We all know Whedon's going to start the season as the number one quarterback. However, if he does not get the job done in week one against the Dolphins, then the Ravens and Minnesota Bengals and Bill, they've got a veteran guy in Jason Campbell that they can put in there to finish out this season. And that would mean when you go into next year's draft, you're going to be looking for a quarterback. However, if Whedon does perform in this offense, which seems to be suited more towards his skill set, right? Then maybe this season moves along at a quicker pace as far as learning the offensive playbook, which leads to more big plays, which could lead to more victories. And I think they will win at least one more game than they did a year ago. Two or three more depends on the injuries and how the defense picks it up as well as the offense.
Well, don't forget, too, coaching will play a factor in that, too, because you have crucial situations where you have a better mind and knows what to do. And then, like I said, with Trzinski, as you keep saying, he's got it, he knows what's happening. Hey, don't forget, he played at the U, and he had some big games against Florida State, Notre Dame, so he knows what type of situations and who your opponent will be and what the outcome should be.
You have to be excited about Chud looking at what he did with Cam Newton as the offensive coordinator and now taking over as a head coach, different role, but still, he took a guy's skill set and built the team's offense around it. I love that fact. Instead of trying to fit a square peg into a round hole, he's taking a round peg and fitting it into a round hole and a square peg and fitting it into a square peg. Imagine that. Ingenuity, oh my God, who'd have thunk of that, right?
Sounds so simple, right?
Right, really. So that's why I feel better about that, and you've got Chud and Norv on the same page. They're on the same page. That's why Chud feels good about Norv calling the plays. And if Brandon Weeden can't succeed in Chud and Norv's offense, this vertical attack, which is suited for him, then, okay, they'll know he's not their guy and they'll be looking for somebody in the draft to be the quarterback of the future. But if he does, even though he turns 30 in October, I think it is, he still, could have 2, 3 years, 4 years, who knows, to play in the NFL if he succeeds in this offense. Yes, there is change. And when there's change, there's a lot of questions. I get that. I'll be honest with you. I'm almost more worried about the defense going from the 4-3 to the 3-4 than I am about this offense with Norvin Chud and Brandon Weeden at the helm.
The only thing that worries me about the defense is stopping the run. Because over the few years, the 3-4, the Browns, period, have not been able to stop the run. So right. that's my worry with the defense.
I have two worries. That's a good one. That's on my list, stopping the run. My other concern, my other worry is they're going to try and bring the kitchen sink, the microwave, the dishwasher, the garbage disposal, the fridge, everything. They're going to try and throw everything. If they don't get to the quarterback with having only one legitimate corner, in my opinion, in Joe Hayden,
yeah,
they're in trouble because they're going to give up a lot of big plays if they don't get to the quarterback. Now, that's why Kruger was brought here. That's why they drafted Barkevious Mingo. That's why Jabal Sheard is expected to have a big year getting after the quarterback and tackles for losses, sacks, creating turnovers. That's why Phil Taylor has to be big and get pressure up the middle, you know, of that defensive line and Ataba Rubin and Billy Wynn and those guys. Because if they don't, Buster Screen's going to get burned like he did last year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, let's just be honest. That right now, T.J. Ward's a big hitter, not a great cover.
Right.
And they may try and use him more of the Troy Polamalu look and, you know, throwing him in to the blitz package and bringing the pressure from the safety position. Then you got to rely on that secondary that is a huge question mark outside of Joe Hayden. Yeah, I know Chris Owens looks good, but can he stay healthy? He's been hurt. Can he stay healthy? He's probably your starter if he's healthy opposite Joe Hayden right now. So a lot's going to be on the shoulders of that secondary, especially when they blitz like crazy in these exotic looks and coming from everywhere and anywhere.
Got to get there.
216-578-0850. That's your phone number. Text me at 503-52. Hit me up on Twitter. We'll check in with the Twitches when we come back at Roadman WKNR at eGoldie80. Who are you most confident with, the Browns? And give me a word that describes your feeling towards the 2013 Cleveland Browns. We're two preseason games in. Or do you need that dress rehearsal to really get a feel for this 2013 Cleveland Browns team? And the question I have for you Buckeye fans out there, is the most important player on this Ohio State football team in 2013 not named Braxton Miller is who? That's what I want to know from you. But I want to tell you this right now. You need new tires? There's only one place you need to go. That's NTB, National Tire and Battery. Simply the best in the business when it comes to tires. A million tires available to you each and every day. Car, truck, van, SUV, I don't care what you're driving. They've got the tire for you at the price you want to pay. They shop the competition's prices daily. So you and I save on the tires that we need for our cars. But they're more than just tires at NTB, and I know this firsthand. I take my car to get serviced at NTB. Oil changes, brake job, tune-up, radiator flush, new battery, new windshield wipers, new struts, shocks, you name it. The ASE certified technicians do all the work. And the other great thing about NTB besides that and the great tire prices is they're open early, they're open late, they're open 7 days a week. You can't beat it. They'll get your car ready to roll for the rest of the summer and on into the winter months here in Northeast Ohio. I trust NTB. I think you will too. Give them a try. National Tire and Battery, NTB, keeping the world in perfect motion, and tell them the Roadman sent you.
Browns to Buckeyes to high school to you. Cleveland's Football Authority is ESPN 850 WKNR Cleveland. Streaming live at ESPNCleveland.com.